Well, good morning, or good afternoon, dear me man. I'm away with my times. It's watching Scotland in the World Cup. Your times are all over the place. Some would say Scotland are all over the place as well, but that's a different story, isn't it? It's really great to be here this morning. Thank you for inviting me back. It's always great to come along the MA and look forward to speaking at the Albert Hall. When I say to people when people ask me what I'm speaking, where I'm speaking, if I'm speaking, I say I slip in the Royal Albert Hall because it's good. We're in royalty. We meet royalty, a royal priesthood. So happy Father's Day to the fathers that are here. This morning I've had already a treat. I was taking it for my breakfast this morning. So that was an early alarm call. So we were away having a breakfast this morning at a Toby restaurant just near to us. So that was nice. I'm a father. 31 years ago, I became a father. And that was in 32 years, 1994, to Fraser. And subsequently, God has blessed me with two further sons. Callum came along and Ewan took me out for breakfast this morning. So I've got three boys. So who is the shortest in terms of being a father here today? What can we say? A year? Just a year? Because there's lots of kids running about. Any advantage on a year? 2 years? 3 years? Who's a father for 3 years? Is that the youngest? Youngest father for 3 years? 4 years? 4 years, right. What about the oldest? I'm 31. Any advances on that? William, 92, no? Many years? 49. And a quarter. Almost, but not. Right, okay. Next year. Excellent. Father's Day has been celebrated for over 100 years. Over 100 years, I was researching that. It started in 1910 in America. And it's a day to give thanks to fathers for everything that they've done in our lives. I must premise this with, not everybody has a positive experience of a father role in their life, in their journey. What happens on Father's Day? Well, a day like today, you can get treated, you can get cards, gifts, you can be taken out for breakfast, or you could be taken out for a meal, or a meal provided. And these are giving in appreciation of everything that a father has done. And then as I was thinking about this morning, I came across a few quotes from Father's Day cards. I got a Father's Day card this morning, and on the front it says, "Happy Father's Day," and it's a wee picture of Roy Keane, who's a football pundit, and he says, "It's just your job, it's your job." If you know Roy Keane, it's just your job. He always hits back with, if anybody's done well in their job, he's saying, "It's just your job." But this is what I found on a card from a child, and it says this: "He's funny, he's clever, he's the best dad ever." Ah, that's good, isn't it? Does anybody, any fathers here have pets? Any pets? Apart from just three cheeky monkeys, but for, you know, pets? Oh, where? What have you got?
Cat. Moira's cat.
Moira, who's under 50's cat. We just want to emphasise that, okay? Listen, I've got a dog, Milo. He's coming up 10 years. And I found this card that was sent from a dog, believe it or not. Right, this is what it says. Roses are red, violets are blue. Today is Father's Day, and just for you, there's pee on the carpet and possibly poo. At least he's honest, eh? At least he's honest. The Bible is full of father figures as we read scripture. I'm currently on a journey of reading the Bible from cover to cover, and I can trace the start of it way back to before my middle son Callum got married. So he's been married 2 years around about now, so that's 2 years I've been on this journey. And I've come across many people in the Bible, many father figures in the Bible who you wouldn't model your life on, and some you would model your life on. And we're going to look at one in a few moments. But it's a mixed bag. But we're going to consider three points in the short time this morning. We're going to look at a father's plea, a father's reward, and then a father's gift. So let's turn, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look in Luke's Gospel. Now, Luke's Gospel is one of three Gospels that cover this particular true story, because it involves our Lord and Saviour Jesus. So if we turn to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to read a couple of verses and then jump to another couple of verses. So Luke chapter 8, verse 40. So the first couple of verses we're going to read are as follows. Everyone had been waiting for Jesus, and when he came back, a crowd was there to welcome him. Just then, a man in charge of the Jewish meeting place came and knelt down in front of Jesus. His name was Jairus, and he begged Jesus to come to his home because his 12-year-old child was dying. She was his only daughter. A brief interaction there. There's another bit, but we're not going to cover that. We're going to jump down to verse 49. While Jesus was speaking, someone came from Jairus' home and said, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher anymore?" When Jesus heard this, he told Jairus, "Don't worry. Have faith, and your daughter will get well." And we'll pick up in a few moments the conclusion of this true event that happened. A father's plea then, the first point, a father's plea. Jairus, I'm sure, had been battling with his emotions for, I'd imagine, maybe a number of days, weeks maybe, as he watched his daughter, who we don't know his name, as he watched his daughter struggle with this illness, and she was dying. And I've said that this account is recorded in three of the Gospels. So who was Jairus then? Jairus was a father. He was in charge of the Jewish meeting place, the synagogue, where local Jews would meet if they didn't get the opportunity to go to the temple in Jerusalem. But this father was not in a good place. Unlike today, when fathers are generally in a good place because they're receiving gifts and getting treated well, Jairus was not in a good place. He was very distressed, as you can imagine, and he was searching. It says here that there was people, a crowd waiting for Jesus. Now, if you've been watching the World Cup, and especially Scotland's progress, not necessarily the team, but the supporters, and the supporters are really taken off, and they've been applauded for their behaviour, but there's masses of them and they're marching down streets. And if you can imagine that crowd like that waiting for Jesus to come, it's busy. There's maybe not a lot of space to move. But this man wanted to speak to Jesus. He was searching for Jesus. I suppose the question I would ask out today is, what are you searching for? What are you searching for in your life as you come into the middle of 2026? What have you, deep down, are you searching for? What aspirations are you wanting to achieve in your life? Is it peace? Are you wanting peace in your life? Is it hope? Are you wanting healing? What is it you're searching for, and where can you get that place? Where can you go for that place to get? Something was troubling Jairus as he was looking for Jesus and searching for him. And the thing that was causing him distress is, we've covered it, his daughter, his only daughter, it's recorded and emphasized in Scripture, was dying. And that must have been, you can't imagine that, what he was feeling and what he was going through at that particular point in his life. But he was searching. He was searching for Jesus. He'd heard that Jesus was nearby, and he, maybe in his desperation, maybe his last place to turn, he was wanting to make a plea to Jesus. He was wanting to get in front of Jesus and make this plea. And I wonder what motivated Jairus to do that. Jairus, I'm sure, he would have heard because of the circles he mixed in and maybe the company that he kept, that he'd heard about this man Jesus who was healing people, who was going around and healing people, and people were giving testimonies how members of their family had been healed or them personally had been healed. And we can only look into Scripture and see before this account in Luke 8, we have many, many examples of what Jesus was doing. We can go to chapter 4 in Luke and read about him healing many people. We can come to verse 39 in that chapter and we see that Peter's mother-in-law was healed. She had a fever and Jesus touched her and it was removed. We can go on to the next verse, and it says this: after sunset, people with all kinds of disease were brought to Jesus. He put his hands on each of them and healed them. Wow. People who were searching for healing found it through the touch of Jesus. We could go on to chapter 7. And Jesus had an interaction with an army officer whose servant, who was highly praised by the army officer, was not well. And the army officer asked Jesus just to say a word. Even if you just say a word, he pleaded with Jesus, my servant would be healed. And that was highlighting the servant's faith in Jesus. And that's one word to hang on to, is faith. Hang on to that word for a few moments as we look at Jairus' story. It's very, very important that Jairus had faith in Jesus. Such was Jairus' intent to speak to Jesus that he'd done this. Now, if we were wanting to speak to somebody, we would maybe pass a wee note to them and say, listen, can I get a word with you afterwards? Or tap you on the shoulder or wave over. But Jairus, he was so desperate to speak to Jesus that he ran and fell down at his feet. Now, I'd imagine if you wanted to get somebody's attention, you would run and fall down at their feet because they can't go anywhere because you're blocking them off. But also they'd be looking to see, what's this? What's happening here? Not only do we read that he was wanting to get Jesus' attention, that he begged Jesus to come to his home. He didn't just say, listen, whenever you've got a minute or in your journey today, pop in to my home and see my daughter. He was begging him to come to his home because his 12-year-old daughter was dying. Notice the manner of Jairus' approach to Jesus. He came in person. He came in person. He didn't send someone to go and get Jesus. He came in person. Because he knew that he wanted to say to Jesus that this means so much to me that I believe that you can make a difference in my daughter's life. Also, by falling at his feet, he gave Jesus a position of honor and worshipped him falling at his feet. He says, I'm not worthy to be in your presence, so I'm falling at your feet. As this was all going on, there was somebody else in the background trying to get through the crowd. They were trying to get to Jairus. And this person didn't want to give the news that they had to give to Jairus. Jairus had come to Jesus wanting him to come back to his house. This person was coming to Jairus with this news. And it's the worst possible news that Jairus would hear that day. And we read in verse 49, the man says to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher anymore? Wow. Imagine Jairus hearing those words. He had hope. He had found this person, Jesus, who was healing everyone. It says that. He healed them. They were getting better. That was his hope for his daughter. But now it seems to have been taken away. He must have been crestfallen. He had got to Jesus too late. Maybe if he'd have been there a couple hours, Maybe if he'd cut the crowd off and got there first, he would have maybe had an opportunity. Death is not only physical. It can come in many forms. It can be a disease. I was sharing with Moira before the service started that our family just now are going on a journey with my mum, a journey of dementia. And that's a form of death, as that person slowly starts to lose cognitivity and names and remembering. And it's hard. It's hard to watch someone die a death in front of you. 5 years ago, I don't have a father just now, but 5 years ago, I watched for 9 months as my dad died a slow death. He died of cancer. So that's another form of slow death. But disease can bring that. It can cut you off from what you are doing. It can be very, very hard to cope with. Loneliness is another form of death, where you're cut off, where you're isolated. And years gone by in COVID, loneliness was a big thing for people, cut off. Debt can be a form of death, where you can't do what you used to do and you're struggling just to make ends meet. Unemployment can be a form of death, where you feel you're inadequate and you're not as good as others. But let me just tell you this. It's never, ever too late to reach out to Jesus, no matter what your circumstances are. No matter what your circumstances are, it's never too late to reach out to Jesus. Because Jesus says, I don't want you to have the burdens of life. I want you to come to me and take my yoke, which is easy to carry. Despite this news, Jairus was still going to ask Jesus to come. Wow. In Matthew 9:18, he says to Jesus, this is one of the other accounts, please come, please come. And you can probably hear in his voice, please come, and the tears running down his eyes. Please come, place your hand on her. Then she will live again. He'd already received the news that she was dead. But such was his faith in Jesus. He says, please come and place your hand on her. Jairus was saying to Jesus, you have the power over death. That's what he was nailing to the wall. He was saying, you have the power over death. I believe that as a Christian and a believer in Jesus. And I believe what God's word tells us. And then in John 11, we get these wonderful words that Jesus was declaring what Jairus was proclaiming. In verse 25 of that chapter in John, Jesus tells us these words. I am the one who raises the dead to life. Everyone who has faith, there's that word again, in me will live even if they die. And everyone who lives because of faith in me will never really die. A father's plea, please, please come and put your hand on my daughter. It's great when you put faith in something out with your control, isn't it? This May, just passed, my football team, might know this, is Manchester City. Not a good response. I had my faith in them to win the FA Cup, and they did, when they beat Chelsea 1-0. Sorry for any Chelsea fans out there, or are you listening, or ever hear this message. But there was nothing I could do to achieve that. I had put my faith in my team, and they delivered. The last couple of years, I put my faith in the same team, and they didn't deliver. So don't put your faith in a football team. But where's your faith and trust today in 2026? As you stand here in June, where is your faith today? Where is your trust today? As the world is in turmoil, where is your trust today? Are you fearful of what the news might come? Or do you have a hope and a confidence in a God who loves you and has said he'll provide everything for you, no matter what circumstance you're going through? Jesus, he heard the terrible news that was delivered to Jairus. And Jesus delivered hope in a now hopeless situation. And we read about that in Luke 8:50. It says, don't worry, have faith. Now there's that word again, have faith. and your daughter will get well. In a moment of despair, there was a choice that Jairus had to make. He had to make a choice. Does he take Jesus at his word? Or accept that his daughter was now deceased? Because faith was going to be the crucial line in the sand here. Jesus had given Jairus a lifeline for his daughter. Have trust in me. That's the key. Have trust in me. Trust, I found when I looked at the description, is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. A firm belief, an unerring, nailed to the mast belief. Is that what you have today? And if you have it, where is it? Is it in yourself as you've battled through life? Is it in your career and your career path? Or is it in Jesus who laid down his life for you? Jairus' heart must have been pounding as he approached the house. He must have been thinking, what am I going to be walking into? I'm going to be taking Jesus in, and what is going to happen? But God, only God can deliver in a hopeless situation. And we read that once Jesus was there, if we were to read the other verses, that he delivered on his promise and he raised his daughter to life. Jairus' faith had been rewarded in that day of trust. And I'm sure that from that day onwards, the story that Jairus would have said was not all about me, but all about Jesus and what Jesus had done. And the encounter that he had with Jesus that day, when he got in front of the crowd and he asked Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus delivered on his promise. A father's plea that day, he saw a father's faith come to the fore, and a father's reward is given by his daughter being brought back to life. Where do we stand on the claims that Jesus made as we come to ourselves? Where do we stand? We have a choice to reject them or put faith in them. Just two sides to the coin. We were out for a meal with our home group a couple of weeks ago, and around about the table there was two guys who had given their heart to the Lord Jesus later on in life, and there was two guys, one of which was myself, who was brought up in a Christian family and had that privilege of being under God's word. But all of us had one thing in common. We had to come to a point where we put our trust in Jesus. I couldn't rely on my dad's faith or my mum's faith. I had to come for myself. And these other guys didn't have any church background, but they had heard the stories of Jesus through someone speaking, someone sharing, someone witnessing to them. But they had to make a choice about putting their faith in Jesus. And Jesus made many claims, and one was found in John 14:6, and it was mentioned right at the beginning of the service. It says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father. The Father meaning God. God dwells in heaven, as he dwells everywhere. That is the claim that Jesus made. Another is, for those who believe and put their trust in him, he says, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said that to his disciples. And I'm going to come back for you. He also spoke to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. It's confused, Nicodemus. But he says, not physically, you must be born spiritually again. A study of the Bible, as I'm going through it, reveals that what God says, what Jesus says in his ministry, it will come to pass. It will happen. Many prophecies have prophesied about his birth, his death, his resurrection, and they all happened. And Jesus himself, it says, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is your trust in me or elsewhere? Well, lastly, a father's gift. When we have these statements ringing in our mind, Jairus had a choice when Jesus says, have faith in me, put your trust in me. Jairus, there's nothing you can do about it, but I'm giving you a promise. If you trust in me, your daughter will be well and become back to life. a Father's gift then. For this, we stay in John's Gospel, and it's a very famous part of chapter 3, a couple of verses. And it shows us how much we're valued by God. Never think that you're not valued. Never think there's a situation in life where you're not valued. Never think that, because God values you. Jesus valued Jairus' daughter. But also note the wee asterisks, that a gift is only useful if it's when it's received and accepted. You can be given a gift, but you never use it. I love playing darts. I could be given Phil Taylor's darts, but if I never use them, I won't score 180s or fives or sixes or whatever it is. But the point is, if you are offered a gift and you receive it, it'll only work for you when you use it. Faith is the key, and here is what it says. John 3:16-18, we'll read it all. God so loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith, remember faith in him, will have eternal life and never really die. God did not send his son into the world to condemn its people. He sent him to save them. No one who has faith in God's son will be condemned, but everyone who doesn't have faith in him has already been condemned for not having faith in God's only son. Faith, as I read the Bible, is a key ingredient to having life and life to the full. Faith in Jesus is the point that is emphasized here, both to Jairus and us today. Faith in Jesus as God's son, in his life, his death, and his resurrection is the key point. Don't take my word for it. Look and find yourself a Bible. Read the Gospels. Read how Jesus interacted and how Jesus met the needs of people. But only a personal faith, trust in Jesus, that he lived, died, and was resurrected, is what's asked for. Jesus becomes our Lord and Savior in this life so that we can worship him as we journey through it, but also have the hope and the confidence that eternity awaits in his presence. And what a wonderful thought that is. Faith and trust in Jesus, as I close, it unlocks so much for a person. And you might be thinking, well, what does it unlock then? Because I'm interested. Maybe I haven't thought about it like this before. Well, faith, trust in Jesus, removes sin that broke our relationship with God and continually blocks our relationship with God because we are doing our own desires. We're following our own wants, not what he would have us to do. Faith, trust also makes us acceptable in God's sight, because when we trust Jesus, we put our trust in his life, and God looks at Jesus' life, who we've trusted in, and that covers our lives. Faith, trust makes us a new creation. It says in Corinthians, the old is gone and the new is here. The old way of living, the old desires and wants, which you feel, I don't know if I can let go of these. Jesus comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, and you will gradually let go of them because you want to desire to please Jesus. Faith, trust gives us an instant assurance that eternal life in heaven awaits for us. Jesus is saying today, I believe, like he said to Jairus, put your trust in faith in me. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're facing down the line this week or in months to come, put your trust in me, because I can guarantee it will be life-changing for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Father's Day, where many people are gathering and thanking their father, their earthly father, for the life that they've given them and the upbringing that they've had. We remember those whose experience of fathers is not great, Lord, and they want to forget about it, Lord. We just ask for comfort to come into their lives today, Lord. But we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, and you didn't spare anything for us, Lord. And as we've read a few moments ago, you sent your own Son to die for us. And the choice is there for us to make. Do we put our trust in you? Do we put our trust in Jesus? do we say, my faith is in you? I've read the evidence. I've read the accounts. I've read the true stories. I've read the promises. And I want that because my life is out of control. My life looks good on the outside, but inside, I'm in turmoil. I'm struggling. When I shut the door at night, I just cry. You want to take that away. You want to pour love and peace and security and hope into everyone's life here today. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you as a Lord and Savior, help them to say a prayer of, Lord, come into my life. Please, I give you my life. Please, I want to have faith in you, to trust you for every step that I make. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for this beautiful weather. Thank you for this fellowship that promotes and proclaims your word, Lord. And help us to have a rich blessing as the day continues. In Jesus' name, amen.